All right, go ahead and have a seat. Welcome to Village Church. If this is your first time here, my name is Stephen, one of the pastors here at Village Church, and as always, I am thankful and grateful to see each and every one of you. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Genesis 39. We'll be making our way through that chapter this morning. For the past few weeks, we've been getting into the life of Joseph, the great grandson of Abraham. And so what we've seen thus far is that the text of Scripture draws a stark contrast between Joseph and his older brothers. Joseph is faithful, they are faithless. Joseph is building a life where it's family-centered and where he had received prophecies from God, but his brothers despised the family and the voice of God was completely silent in their lives. Joseph's brothers hated him for everything that he had, everything that he was, the way that their father treated Joseph in comparison to the way that they felt grave injustice from their father. And so what they did was they sought to bring pain into the life of Joseph. And in a desperately wicked move, his brothers kidnapped him and sold Joseph into slavery. The text then reveals Jacob's brother Judah would go on to live a life marked by the absence of the work of God in his life. And so Genesis 38 really shows us really the contrast between the work of God in Joseph's life and the work of God really in the lives of his brothers, as Judah would stand to kind of be a representative of the rest of the brothers in the way that God was not working in their lives. And so Joseph was sold into slavery, and then slave traders took him and sold him to an officer in Egypt. Now, what I want us to really grasp a hold of this morning is that this is a pivotal moment in Joseph's life. Many people kind of link and think that pivotal moments in life are the great moments, the moments that we enjoy, the moments that we take pleasure in. But the truth is that the pivotal moments that mark the direction of your life are the moments that are often marked by disappointment, they're marked by pain, and they're even marked by failure. It is our reaction in those moments that show the truth of who we are. It is our reaction to those moments that show who we are becoming and can really shed light on the type of person that we are going to be every day. Martin Luther King Jr. Once said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." And I personally heard Dr. Jerry Falwell say many times, "You do not determine a man's greatness by his talent or his wealth as the world does, but rather by what it takes to discourage him." You know, times often get hard, and it can be very difficult to hear the voice of God and see the work of the hand of God in those moments. But there really are two things that I hope you see this morning that will kind of guide you through all of the difficult moments and all of the character-defining moments in your life. And those are the two things that you can control. And I would say these are two things that will mark the path of your life. They are the choices that you make and the response that you make with the choices of others and how they impact your life. In difficult times, your trust in God and the character that trust in God builds will determine your actions and your reactions to the choices of others. So look in Genesis 39, and we're going to see really a narrative of the path that Joseph's going to take. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate." Pray with me. Lord, you are good, and because of that, we are thankful. Lord, this morning, our prayer is simple. We ask that you would use your word and that you would change our lives by it. Lord, build our faith that we may glorify you in worship. And Father, we ask that you would be merciful to me, a sinner. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Number one this morning, you need to trust God when you don't know what he's doing. You need to trust God when you don't know what he's doing. Charles Spurgeon has famously said that when you can't trace the hand of the Lord, you can trust his heart. When you can't trace the hand of the Lord, you can trust his heart. But the only way that you can practically do this is if you don't let your situations define your faithfulness. You know, God knows what the future holds, but you don't. From my perspective, the future is completely unwritten and full of potential, full of possibility. But our lives need to be defined by the fact that God is good and that God is loving, and he knows the future even when I don't, and he can be trusted with the future because of his goodness and because of his love. And I know those two things are true because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because no matter what, with faith in God, tomorrow always has one great thing from my perspective. It has the potential of the move of God. Tomorrow always has the potential of the move of God. That means the situation that I'm dealing with today doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be dealing with it tomorrow. It doesn't necessarily mean that the situation is going to be the same tomorrow. It doesn't necessarily mean that my life is going to be marked by everything that happened to me yesterday or even everything that happened to me today, because the Word of God tells us that the mercies of the Lord are new every single morning. Therefore, it is faith in God that should determine my outlook on every single day. If my faithfulness is determined by my situation, I can never truly count myself as faithful. And I think that is why so many people struggle with faith. And that's why our definitions of faith are so bad. Because we would mark ourselves as being faithful, yet all of the time despairing in every single thing that happens in our lives. Every single situation that comes in my life, if it is not something that I would prefer to have in my life, it makes me completely despair about the end of today and the beginning of tomorrow. Well, if that is you, then you are not faithful. You cannot define yourself as being a faithful person to the gospel of Jesus Christ if tomorrow is marked by wretched despair. No, it is only when tomorrow is seen in the hands of a loving and good God, therefore the Lord will endure me through every situation. He will ultimately deliver on every single one of his kingdom promises in my life. I don't know when, but he will. And I know he will because he is a good and he is a loving God. That's faithfulness. That's what faith in action actually looks like. Faithfulness is determined by the object of my faith rather than the experience of my life. It's determined by who God is. It's not determined by what I'm going through. It's not determined by the pain or even the pleasure that I'm experiencing in any moment of my life. My faithfulness is based on what God has done and what promises God has made that he will do rather than the outcome of each and every moment. For too many, your faithfulness is determined by your level of comfort. You question God's involvement in your life if anything goes wrong. That is not faith. That is viewing God as some sort of cosmic genie who only exists for your whims. To have faith in God means to trust the path that God chooses. It does not constrict God to the path of my choosing. And so because of that, you need to serve God faithfully wherever it is that God has placed you. I mean, look at the life of Joseph. He was in just about the worst situation he could be in. He was kidnapped, sold into slavery, and now Joseph is in a foreign land, told that he's a slave and must serve the highest bidder. And let's not mistake it, that's who Potiphar was. He was the highest bidder. He's a wicked man. But note how Joseph never lost his faith. Verse 2 tells us something very vital to the story. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. That means that in the midst of his despair, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of what anybody would probably say, this is about as bad of a situation as you could ever be in, this is about as painful as it could possibly get, the Lord was with him. And that is the reality that marks the life of Joseph. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 reminds us that there are times when we don't understand and we are tempted to view everything happening from our perspective. You know, it's interesting. I was watching this little documentary about these people over in mountainous areas where it's prone to forest fires, and they'll have these little outposts at the top of mountains. And people will have to go live there in isolation for months at a time. Sounds like a miserable existence to me. But you'll go up there and you'll live in this little kind of shack this guy was living in, and it was elevated. I mean, so high at the top of one of the mountain peaks. And why was he up there? Perspective. It's because from that vantage point, he would be able to see a forest fire before anyone that was living at ground level. He had a greater perspective simply because of the elevation of his perspective than anyone else at the ground level would possibly have. That means that there were people at ground level that would think everything's fine, but from his perspective, he would be able to see a raging forest fire going right for their town. You see, so often, we from the ground level, we question everything that God's doing. We despair at the notion that God would bring anything unpleasant into our lives. We think that his hand is completely removed from us when we're in the moment of misery because we're only viewing things from our perspective. When you look at the life of Joseph, you would, if I was in that situation, I would be like, what have I done to make the Lord mad at me? I mean, what have I done wrong? Clearly, God's not blessing my life. But verse 2 goes against every bit of natural inclination that I would have about the situation that Joseph's in. Because verse 2 is clear that in the misery, in the slavery, in the kidnapping, the Lord was with Joseph. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do you want to know when anxiety enters your life? Do you want to know when depression is going to enter into your life like you've never dealt with it before? When you lean on your own understanding, because you have ceased to trust the perspective of the Lord. When you enter into the valley of the shadow of death, do you believe that the Lord is still with you? Do you believe that the promises of God are still yours? Do you believe that the gospel is for you? Or do you question even the goodness of God in hard moments? See, that's what determines your faithfulness. There's always a greater perspective. And friends, there is no greater perspective than the perspective of God. He knows how every single moment will turn out. Therefore, we can trust that God will be with his people. Why? Because God promises to be with his people. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. The Lord says, he says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God will give strength and help. God will uphold you. This is not by my power. This is not by my righteousness, but by God's righteous hand will these things happen in the life of his people. This is a promise for the people of God. And if you've trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are his people. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You see, friend, the question is, how are you responding when things don't go to your liking? How are you responding when times get difficult? You see, the thing that sticks out to me about Joseph's situation is how the hand of God was with him in the worst of situations, and Joseph knew it. Joseph believed it, but then Joseph excelled in it. That did not mean, though, that the road would then turn to a comfortable one for Joseph. And so when we are in those difficult situations, we need to understand that something that's very important. See, because everybody wants to tell you that everything's about your passion, that everything's about your zeal, everything's about you always having a smile on your face and always being excited about every single thing that comes into your life. That's insanity. If passion defines you and there's nothing behind that passion, you'll fail every single time. So number two this morning, understand character is a gospel issue. Character is a gospel issue. I would rather have one man with character than 20 men with passion. Passion doesn't endure people for very long when times get hard. But character makes people endure for the rest of their lives. So how do you build a life of character like Joseph had? Because I want you to see a picture into Joseph's character. Look in verse 6 again. And 6b starts out by saying, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Anytime the Bible starts talking about the way someone looks, you know they're about to be in trouble. So all you pretty people out there, look out. All right, luckily I've never had to deal with that. Verse 7, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph. Uh-oh. She thinks Joseph's pretty. I never want to be called pretty. And said three words that are the gateway to hell. Lie with me. But Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? God. Who's the center of Joseph's vision? God. And as she spoke to Joseph, day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. That's character. And you say, why is that character? Maybe she was ugly. Well, the text doesn't tell us what she looked like, but the text tells us about the power that she had over Joseph. So I want to put forward to you that Genesis 39 shows that both the sovereignty of God in light of future events that would happen in Genesis 45 through 50 and the character of Joseph are in a divine partnership here. You know, character is an interesting issue that many that trust the grace of God sometimes shy away from. And the reason that some people shy away from this is that they fear that it will be confused to overshadow the need for God's grace, and that we will somehow think that having a life of character actually earns us the grace of God. It doesn't, because that's getting kind of the cart before the horse. It is the grace of God that builds a life of character. So I want you to understand that it is faith in God that will build your character. It will build you to be a person marked by integrity. You see, God's grace finds us in our sin and then builds a new life for us worth living and following Jesus Christ. It is faith that's going to build this character and integrity in his life. It is faith in God's grace that gives us an objective reason to live an honest life built on the principles of God's holiness. Look at the way Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 writes it. It proclaims to us that if we want real security in our lives, we will have integrity. It says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. You know, people without integrity have to have really long memories. You see, because the crooked have to remember what lies they told and what deception they have to use to keep covered so that people won't know the truth of their sin. You see, if you have character and you have integrity, you can basically have amnesia about every situation. Because character and integrity mean you don't have to cover your tracks. You don't have to hide anything. You can tell the truth in every situation. Somebody brings an accusation your way, okay, bring it. Let's talk. I got nothing to hide. And if I have done something wrong, well, I've got enough character to be like, sorry about that. I'll try not to do that again. So when you have a life marked by integrity, you walk securely because most accusations won't stick because they're untrue. See, character needs to be the defining reality of your life. But here's what I want you to understand where the life of Joseph is concerned. The truth of your character is revealed in the most difficult of situations. The truth of your character is revealed in the most difficult of situations. You see, it would have been extremely easy for Joseph to give in to this temptation for many reasons. I mean, let's be frank here. It would have been pleasurable. But it also probably would have made his life easier. I mean, Joseph was the victim of grave injustice here. Therefore, many would even go the further mile and they would understand his sinful reactions and even excuse his reactions. You see, Potiphar is a wicked man and his wife is wicked. And yes, sure, he treated Joseph great, but it was because of the success that Joseph gave him. Let's not forget that he kind of bought people from the Ishmaelites with no questions about where those people actually came from. And let me tell you something. Sleeping with Potiphar's wife would have been good payback. That's a good movie right there. It's a lifetime flick of the week. Who would blame Joseph even in this situation for being weak? I mean, we would ask ourselves, isn't the grace of God big enough to cover Joseph's lack of character in this situation? Well, sure, but it is the grace of God that gives you a new life so that you won't get into temptation in this specific situation. See, Joseph had every reason to disobey God, but he had one reason to obey God, the promise that the Lord was with him. Note where Joseph's perspective goes immediately. He doesn't just say, well, that would be wrong. And you know what? You don't want to do the right thing. You don't want to do the wrong thing. You want to do the right thing. Why do you want to do the right thing? Because it's right. Stop saying nonsense like that. If you do right because it's right, did you know that that's idolatry? Doing right that terminates on itself puts you as the center of morality. It puts you as the center of perspective. It puts you at the center of goodness. I don't do right because it's right. I do right because God defined what's right. See, my right cannot terminate on itself. It must go further than me. It must go to God. Only then can it be worship. Only then can it be true repentance. And Joseph's perspective immediately goes to God because Joseph had an objective reason for doing right. You see, the grace of God does not give us an excuse for sin. Rather, it gives us a reason for obedience. It's not meant to excuse a lack of character. Look in Romans chapter 6. Here's what it says. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Because the idea is, well, if grace covers my sin and grace gets more and more and more powerful with the more and more sin that you have, well, let's sin really big so we can get some really big grace. And the Apostle Paul says, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. He says, that cannot be true, verse 2 begins in the Greek. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. It is the grace of God that gives you a life of character. Too many of us use situations to excuse our wickedness. They say, oh, you don't understand. It's such a hard time in my life, and so I'm just so weak, and so I can't have character right now. I can't make good decisions right now. My choices are just kind of, they're going to be wrong right now. Let me ask you a question, because it's always the scripture that needs to guide your life. Have you been kidnapped and sold into slavery? I mean, I'm telling you, I know that some of you, and you've brought me some zingers sometimes. I mean, you've got some really difficult situations in your life, but I have not yet come into contact with anyone as a pastor that had it as bad as Joseph. Not personally, historically, sure, but not personally. I mean, Joseph's got it rough. And what is he doing? Looking to God. What is he practicing? A life of character. Do not use the pain of the moment to excuse a choice that can ruin your eternity. Do not use the pain of a moment to excuse a choice that can ruin your eternity. Don't do it. Build a life of character. Do not be the person that rather than looking for reasons to preserve obedience in God, you look for reasons to compromise your integrity. Don't do that. Look for every reason to obey God because that is the life worth living. Why? Because it is character that defines you. It is character that defines a person's life. If Joseph had disobeyed God, I truly believe we wouldn't have the story of Joseph, because he would have just joined his faithless brothers. Now, I believe that there is a divine partnership between God's sovereignty and the choices that we make in our lives. Both of them propel us to the vision of God or the stagnancy of wickedness. Your choices matter. And as I said, passion and zeal do not replace character. Other attributes in this life fade while character endures. Passion dwindles in unpleasant circumstances. You can put on the public face all you want to, but your passion, if things aren't going your way, it will dwindle in hard moments. Your excitement about the future, well, you get hit in the face enough times, that look goes off your face. Every single time. Some people are really excited at the beginning of a fight. You ever watch an MMA match and they walk into that ring, man, they're going to bite each other's faces off. I mean, they're going to kill each other. They brought a shovel with them to bury them out back afterwards. Gets hit in the face a couple of times, the look on his face changes, doesn't it? He doesn't look so mean after that. See, the reality is that it is character that will endure you to the end, because the moments can really suck the passion out of your life. And if all you were going on was passion and excitement, you will eventually fold under the pressure of hard and uncomfortable moments, because you won't be able to adjust. You won't be able to look forward and say, I've got to endure through this hard time. No, without passion, you just go wherever it looks like is going to give you the most comfort, wherever it looks like it'll give you the most leisure. And I don't know if you've been in some situations like I've been in my life, but the things that looked like they would give me the most comfort, that was a deception in that moment, was it not? That was something that would not have given me a life worth having. It would not have built character in my life, but I want you to understand it is character that perseveres a man to the end. Because that is what persevered our Savior to the end. Many look at the story of Joseph, and we must look for typology in the Old Testament, and they have said that Jesus is the greater Joseph. It is character that is also seen in the life of Christ, just as we see it in the life of Joseph. I mean, Joseph is in the toughest situation in his life, and the excitement of doing a good job and being good at his job will not be what defines his future. And it's the same type of character that took Christ to the cross. I mean, if you've heard the story of Christ going to the cross, maybe you've heard of Christ praying in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before the cross. Jesus prays a character-driven prayer to the Father. He says, "Not my will, but yours be done." You see, Jesus wasn't looking forward to the cross. He wasn't saying, "Oh, goody, they're going to drive nails through my hands. Fantastic. Sounds like a good Saturday." No. Jesus was saying, "Lord, if there be any other way, let the cup of enduring the sins of all humanity on my shoulders, let that cup pass from me." Because his excitement about completing the mission in that moment, I want to tell you something about Christ, it wasn't enough. When he says, "If there be any other way," that is his passion waning. That is his zeal struggling. It was Christ's character that took him to the cross. And in this moment in Joseph's life, he needed the character of Jesus Christ. No matter the cost, integrity matters, friends. I want you to understand that. But number three, understand that faithfulness to God is not an easy road. Faithfulness to God is not an easy road. There are some times when your integrity won't have the return that you expected. There are times when you'll be living a life of integrity, and the return that you get on it isn't pleasant. I mean, how do I want the story to end? I want the story to end that Joseph did the right thing, everything worked out for him as soon as he ran away from Potiphar's wife and didn't jump into the sack with her. No, that was not the outcome. Verse 11, "But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying," again, those three words, "lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. As soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she saw an opportunity for payback. That's what she saw. Men, the wicked woman, run from her. She called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us," speaking of her husband. "He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house.' As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, 'This is the way your servant treated me,' his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison." Verse 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Now think about that. Think about the injustice of this story. Think about the fairness of the way that this narrative of Scripture ends. The outcome is not the one that we want. Joseph accused of rape. Joseph the righteous was being accused of being Joseph the wicked. And guess what? Since Joseph was a slave, no one was going to believe his side of the story. And so Joseph was put into prison. Joseph the righteous went from there to Joseph, the convicted felon. And Joseph was placed in prison for a very long time. Estimates tell us greater than 10 years is the amount of time that Joseph would ultimately spend in prison. He's gone from the favorite son to a valued slave to a convicted prisoner. By any standard, Joseph did not deserve this. Things just keep getting worser and worser and worser. Those who had sold him, the Ishmaelites, they walked free. His brothers, walking free. The woman that accused him, walking free. Friends, I want you to understand something very important for your life. The curse of sin in this world is painful. And it will manifest itself in your life. And at times in the reality that you can do things the right way for the right reasons with the right motivations will end up like Joseph. And that is a painful reality. Life isn't fair. So what in the world are we supposed to do with that? Well, first, let's be honest about it. I'm not going to tell you some charlatan lie that if you are faithful, everything will work out for you, everything will be pleasant for you. Put $5 in the offering plate today and you'll get $50 on your way home this afternoon. Those are lies from the pits of hell. Sometimes you will have great character, you will have great integrity, and you will feel like your character and integrity have cost you something. You will feel like your character and integrity have invited doom into your life. You will feel like your character and integrity have brought pain into your life. But see, friends, character doesn't drive you to lie about the reality of the situations. Sometimes things don't go the way that we want them to. That's the truth. Don't brush over it. We need Jesus because the world is messed up and messed up things happen. Second, let's be honest. The return that Joseph got, it wasn't pleasant. But that doesn't change the truth of the gospel of Jesus, nor does it change the promises of God. See, verse 21 is vital. The Lord was with Joseph. There it is. God was in the mess. God was walking with Joseph. When the Lord is with you, you can be certain of something. You can be certain that the Lord is working the mess to His glory. And whether or not that is enough is what defines whether you actually have faith in Jesus Christ. Let me be blunt about this. Whether or not the fact that God will get glory from your unpleasant situation, whether or not that is enough for you, defines whether or not you actually have faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, in Matthew chapter 28, it's something we talk about all the time. We have the Great Commission. We have the command to live the mission of God, to make disciples, to see that we observe all that Jesus commands and that we get others to observe all that Jesus commands. But we have one more promise in that text. It's not all commands, and it's a promise that we often overlook. We get so driven by the command, we get so driven by the imperative, that we ignore the promises that will actually build character for the command. The verse ends with Jesus Christ saying, "And I will be with you always to the end of the age." Is the presence of God in your life enough? Because it is the presence of God that commands the glory of God. It is the presence of God that gives you the promises of God. It is the presence of God that ensures for you the future of God. It is that promise of presence that tells me that the difficult road of faith isn't a bridge to nowhere. It is a pathway to the glory of God. And so if you want to talk about the potential of living a life of character, what it can build. It can build a life of faith where you actually experience the presence of God every day. Why? Because you trust it. Because you live by it. You let it define every moment. You let it define every response. You let it define every reaction. You let it define every time you have to respond to when it hits the fan, and sometimes it stinks. Let's be honest. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison. And the Lord was enduring Joseph to deliver on the greatest promise ever, and that is the promise of God the Son dying on the cross for our sins. You know, sometimes I don't want to hear about God's timing. I don't want to hear, "Oh, Steve, it's all in God's timing." You just want to kick that person square in the face if you can get your foot that high. God's timing. "Oh, thank you so much. I hadn't thought about that one, Einstein." "Oh, you're so spiritual. Billy Graham's here, folks. All in God's time. All the while, you're not dealing with what I'm dealing with." And you just don't want that advice. But here's the key. That doesn't mean it's untrue. That is a true statement. Joseph's journey was not an easy road, but faith in God would endure him. Why? Because quite frankly, faith wasn't the power. The object that his faith was in was the power, God. You see, friend, we can trust God's timing because ultimately, everything that took place in Joseph's life, we're going to see it as the story plays out, but a spoiler alert, it saves his entire family. Everything that happens in Joseph's life secured the future of the nation of Israel. Everything that happens in Joseph's life ultimately secures the future of that nation, which secures the birth of God the Son, Jesus Christ, in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. And everything that happens in Joseph's life makes it so that Jesus dies on the cross from your sins and rises from the dead to give you an eternity of salvation from sin. And because God had a plan for everything that happened in Joseph's life, I can rest securely that God has a plan for everything that comes my way. Whether I like what comes my way or whether I don't like what comes my way. I can be certain of one thing, God's got a plan. But also, God's timing is perfect. I struggle to see it sometimes because I'm an impatient person, but it is. You can trust God because He works everything to His power. He works everything to His glory. He is walking behind every single moment, and no matter how deep the pain, God has the power of resurrection and will work it in my life. Friend, I want you to understand your actions matter. Your character counts. And the reason that they matter and the reason character counts is because Jesus Christ saves and builds us a life worth living that prepares us for the kingdom of heaven. He is both our example and He is our hope. Jesus saves. And sometimes the witness in my life of the power of Jesus Christ comes from very painful circumstances. As the band comes up, friend, a lot of reasons to not obey God, but there's one overarching reason I always find to obey God, and that's that He is God and that He is here. You see, friends, the power of God's promises are found in everything that God has ever done. I'm not going to tell you a lie right now, because some people would. Some people will tell you a lie that if you trust Jesus, you'll never question the goodness of God. Some people will tell you a lie that if you trust Jesus, you'll never distrust the promises of God. But I'm here to tell you the truth. There's going to come times when trusting God is very difficult. There's going to come moments where you look to what's going on in your life and you're going to have a very hard time tracing the hand of God in your life. And in those moments is when you're going to need faith in Jesus Christ more than you've ever needed it before in your life. And the moment of pain is what's going to determine the next day of your life and how you respond to it, how you react to it. If you look to the cross and you say, I don't know where God's going with this, but I know He loves me. And I know He loves me because He sent His Son. I don't know where God is going with this, but I know He's powerful enough to endure me through it. Why is He powerful enough to endure me through it? Because He rose from the dead. That's how powerful He is. And if He's powerful enough to bring death to life, then He is powerful enough to bring me through any situation, even if that situation costs me my life. There's going to come moments in Joseph's life where he looks at it and he says, I'm just going to die in Egypt separated from my family. But the Lord was with him. Friend, if you're in here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that if you trust Jesus, the Lord will be with you through every single moment of your life, no matter what happens. And that's why you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He loved you enough to take the penalty for your sins onto Himself so that you would never have to endure the wrath of God. And today is the day of salvation. Trust Jesus Christ. But secondly in here, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have trusted Him, don't lie. Life stinks sometimes. Life's difficult sometimes. Things don't go our way many, many, many times. Sometimes it feels like I deal with more bad things than I deal with good things. But in those moments, do not lose heart. Christ has overcome the world. His kingdom is coming, and He is with you. If you believe that this morning, there are tables in the front and in the back. The bread represents the broken body of Christ. The cup represents His shed blood. If you believe Jesus Christ, come, eat, drink, proclaim the death of our King, and then walk trusting Him every day when you're ready.